listening to Pirate Radio Podcast.
Cast out to sea.
Hey, Adrian, you old sea dog.
What?
I think it's time to listen to some music.
Pirate Radio Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to Pirate Radio Podcast. My name is Ali.
And my name is Adrian.
And this is another Radio Radar coming at ya.
Yeah, a little cash episode full of some news and shit.
Yeah, we got some things we're gonna share, music-related news here. Did you want to go first? I know Adrian's written some notes here, so he's a lot more prepared than
I am.
Just want to clue in to people.
No, this is all my... by mind and stuff.
This is your PhD.
Yes. Anyway, thank you, Ali,
for
lifting the curtain on my activities. Okay. The first news story we have is quite exciting.
Okay.
It is that John Frusciante is returning to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh my god.
Yeah, alright, we laughed because I literally before... recording, I said that, and Ali was like, "Who?
John for who?
But no, he. I mean, he's a very talented guitarist, and him going back to like the band that really blew up his name is super interesting.
Well, I never got into the Chili Peppers as much, it sounds like heresy because people love the Chili Peppers. It's quite universally loved.
It's fine. You don't need to know everything, but apparently, Frusciante has been doing a lot of solo work, which I haven't checked out. But I've been reading comments on this news story to really see like the full story.
And yeah,
it seems as though he has some stuff which is quite interesting, which I want to go check out.
Like different from Chili Peppers?
You haven't checked it out. Yeah, I've checked it out. Right. I'm sure it's very guitar heavy.
Yeah, probably. That's his instrument.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's also probably well timed for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm. I don't know what the last thing they released was 2016, I think, The Getaway.
It's a while ago.
Yeah, it had that Dark Confessions? No, Dark something.
Mm.
I forget what that song was called. But I don't know. I don't remember too many more hits that were on there.
Yeah, but he wasn't with them at that time, yeah?
Yeah, it's been actually 10 years since he's been gone. I'll read this little article. I just dropped my phone. Alright, but I'll read this article.
Sure.
The band have parted ways with the guitarist Josh Klinghoffer, which is... they actually booted out the guy who replaced Frusciante.
Oh,
but he's being replaced by old John, Frusciante. They said, Josh is a beautiful musician who we respect and love. They said that on Instagram. Mm. We are deeply grateful for our time with him and the countless gifts he has shared with us. The band added, "We also announced with great excitement and full hearts that John Frusciante is rejoining our group."
Well, it's probably a big marketing thing too, where it's like, "No, the original band is back together."
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the big names.
They're gonna make
back.
A lot of money.
I'm
out of
sure,
this.
Like, I'm sure they're gonna tour like crazy, and a lot of people will be excited.
I wonder how they did it though. I wonder how Frusciante like came.
I don't know. He seems to not be afraid of walking away from big paychecks in terms of walking away from a band like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's a creative thing, but who knows? It's actually his third stint back with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's left them two times before. So who knows? Getting quick whilst he's still
getting
there.
Getting quick. Yep.
He might leave again.
Limited time only.
Yeah, he joined in 1988 following the death of guitarist Hillel Slovak. So yeah.
So he wasn't even the original.
No, he wasn't the original.
Oh.
He was a part of Mother's Milk, which is a big album, and their biggest album. One of their biggest albums from when they were coming up in 1991, Blood Sugar Sex Magic, which has a lot of like those ones that you always hear on the radio.
The classics, right? Yeah.
But yeah, so that one was like the super success, and they had super success with Frusciante.
Right.
But yeah, he actually left mid tour apparently after Blood Sugar Sex Magic. So yeah,
okay.
But yeah, he joined them 6 later then. later then, and then they came out with Californication.
Oh wow! So he came back in time for Californication.
Yeah, that like yes. Yeah. So you could see why people are kind of excited.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we'll get more really good Chili Peppers music.
Yeah, and then he left again in September 2009. But anyway, he's back now.
Get him while he's hot. Get him while he's hot.
A little bit of, what's that game? Put your right foot in, you put your left foot out.
The Hokey Pokey.
Yeah, he's doing the Hokey Pokey in terms of being in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The Hokey Pokey. Whoa, the Chili Peppers.
We'll see how evaluates? That's the wrong word.
Evaluates?
Eventuates?
Eventuates. We'll see. That's some red hot news right there. But I've got some.
Seriously?
Sorry. I was like thinking about it. I'm like, how am I going to incorporate their band name into how I sign that off?
Nice little segue.
I've got some rather sad news here, and this might come. You might actually be really saddened by this because I know you went to this thing once upon a time.
What the fuck?
But yeah, I know, right? Have a guess what I'm going to talk about. So Lost Paradise, the festival, has been cancelled for this year, unfortunately, due to the.
I only went once.
Due to the threat of the bushfires ravaging the state.
The bushfires are basically surrounding the area
campsite?
Glenworth Valley.
Yep.
So,
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, makes a hell of a lot of sense.
OH&S-wise, you can't have a whole bunch of people partying around in a place that's surrounded by a ring of fire. So, it's unfortunate because, like, you know, we already had so many festivals being shut down because of authoritarian, like, you know, laws and everything, and all this sort of thing, and it really does suck how much we're being affected by these fires at every turn.
Yeah, yeah. Old Lost Paradise. It wasn't that old.
No. Like,
I'm pretty sure I went to maybe
the
second one.
I mean, I'm hoping that it's in the same way that the festival I was meant to go to, Subsonic, was cancelled because of the bushfires too. They're planning on doing it again later in the summer. But even then, like I heard a whole bunch of the fireys talking about how they're not sure whether or not these fires are going to end the usual time they end.
No.
They're pretty certain it's going to go until like maybe like April or May.
They're like I remember the original one was like going to burn till January.
Mm.
Then I heard they were going to burn through to February. Mm. So who knows?
Exactly. They're not sure because it's all unprecedented, right? So like they're not. No one can really say for sure when it's going to end.
And I mean, a festival being shut off is probably not the worst thing happening.
No way in hell. But, you know, seeing as
but it is affecting the musical side of stuff.
It is.
On to the next news story. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not too many more impacts from the fires.
Yeah.
The next story, which might interest you a little bit, mm-hmm. at least in terms of the historical nature of a particular instrument that you're quite fond of.
Okay.
Although it is also very sad. We've got a sad angle to it.
Okay.
It's the death of someone.
Okay.
Death of a man named Gershon Kingsley, who was an electronic music pioneer. He died at 97, so
he was
quite
long
old.
Long life, yeah.
And not that it's ever, you know, welcome. But, yeah, so Gershon Kingsley, a composer who brought electronic sounds into popular music and wrote the enduring hit Popcorn. You know what? I want to play,
can we play a clip?
A clip. The most famous hit from this man.
I haven't heard the original in like ages.
Yeah. although like he did do a lot more than just the song Popcorn, but this was his, you know,
his big thing,
his big entrance onto
his
stage.
Magnum opus.
Yes.
Like I was just saying, I've never actually heard the original before. That's amazing for people to have listened. When did this come out? Do you know?
Late '60s, I think.
Late '60s,
early. I think it was late '60s. Yeah.
people would never have heard music quite like this before.
No.
This is it was pioneering, and that's why I love the synthesizer, because the synthesizer creates these like sounds that are quite sonically, like they don't sound very worldly, they don't sound very earthly.
But it's interesting. I'll continue with this because I've got sort of a roundabout of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about
some of the things. I leave out a lot of aspects. Sure. But I was just kind of stuck with the music side of stuff.
Okay.
Mr. Kingsley Gershon is a cool name. Gershon.
That's a very cool name.
Was an early convert to the Moog synthesizer in the 1960s.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. I think it's pronounced Moog. Moog synthesizer in the 1960s. He used it to create music for commercials and to orchestrate perk melodies. Most notably, Popcorn. It was actually called Pop Space Corn. Then it got rebranded. Originally released on the 1969 album Music to Moog By. It became a bestseller and was remade, usually renamed as a Popcorn, one word. In hundreds of versions by Kraftwerk, Herb Albert, whoever, the Tijuana Brass, Aphex Twin, and the Muppets, among others. Mm. So Mr. Kingsley grew interested in electronic music while working as a staff arranger for Vanguard Records in the mid-1960s.
Mm.
It was French musician Jean-Jacques Perret who introduced Mr. Kingsley to electronic music made by splicing together synthesized tones recorded on tape from an early electronic instrument, the Ondilion. I'm sorry, that's hard to say.
What?
On Dio line. And I'm gonna show you the On Dio line, and then I'll show you an example of the music.
Is this a French instrument?
Oh,
because it sounds like it could be like On Dion or something.
Oh, maybe it's that.
Let's have a look. On the old, okay, yeah, wow, that's a really weird word.
Yeah. a lot of I's and O's really puts you off.
So you got a clip here of
I'll show you him showing the machine first, just so you have an idea of what it kind of looks like, and then I'll show you the music that he makes.
Sure.
And these various instrumental sounds are simulated depending on what a little button he pushes here. You've got it set up for clarinet. Would you play? There's a little clarinet for us.
That other man was wonderful.
The other man, of course, is a professional clarinetist, or else he wouldn't have known the fingering, you see.
And that's in 1960. So for people listening, so basically it looks like a kind of a mix between like a recycling bin with a tiny keyboard on top.
Yeah.
And
you call it a tiny keyboard? It's probably...
It's pretty big. Like it's like a
size of a car.
Well, I mean it's less than the actual, like, as in like the actual keys are like, you know, we don't have as many keys as like a piano on there. But it does, it looks like almost like a jukebox too.
But it's an interesting little gadget.
Very interesting.
And I'll show you an example of the music from that French musician now.
Okay, sure.
Later than that. I'm pretty sure that's like early 70s.
Yeah.
If that was coming out in the 60s,
that would have like blew people's minds. It would have been like War of the Worlds all over again.
But an interesting artist, and he's the guy who got Gershon into the
synthesizer and stuff.
Yeah. Around the same time that he met with Jean Jean-Jacques Parry.
Yeah.
Around the same time, he encountered the early Moog synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
I said that weird. Moog synthesizer, which he recalled in a 1993 interview as this strange contraption that looked like an elephant switchboard made sounds that I'd never heard before.
Mm.
I'm going to show you that that machine.
That machine?
Yeah.
That contraption?
It looks similar to something you'd see in like...
It's a science fiction
thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with Operator and they're kind of like...
They've got those little like... I've always loved when you see the synthesizers that people are like got that switchboard with the, you know,
the lines
that
going in and out of this massive machine, which... I mean, I'm going to put all these links to these videos below this episode. So
I'm going
to
watch the rest of that one for sure.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I remember the first time the reason I got into synth is because I loved that it makes sounds that no other instrument makes. Mm. And but it still uses that sort of like keyboard. Yeah,
but it also can make those sounds. Which
Exactly.
Like, modify
them. Exactly. Like, and you know, when I got my synth, I made sure to get one that was old and analog. Because I love that analog sound, the way you can control, like, with knobs and things, like, you know, different, different settings. Like, I got, like,
A
mini Korg, and it's got the little wood panels on the sides, which I love. I love that.
Well, geez, I've really hit the nail on the head with this story. Unfortunately, it's about a man dying.
It's a celebration of his life.
It's about his life.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'm glad he was alive.
Yeah, because he really helped in he helped with a thing that you're very passionate about.
Yeah, like any pioneer for any sort of new instrument like that, like, definitely deserves some cred. Because we use synthesizers a lot these days in music, and people don't know the history, and they should.
So he actually met with Moog, the man,
yeah,
in 1969, and Moog tried to explain the circuitry to him. And he remembers saying, "Mr. Moog, I'm a musician, not a scientist." And Mr. Moog replied, "Don't you understand? This is the future," which is funny. And he immediately bought it with like all his savings the next day, and it was like he spent around $3,500, which is equivalent to like $2,500 today. But he recouped it by making music sounds for commercials.
That makes sense. Wow, smart, man. That's real smart.
Yeah, real smart.
Damn smart.
It
would have had so much freedom, too, that people would not have, like, you know, heard any of the sorts of compositions he was making at the time.
Yeah. And although, apparently, it was the early Moog was a very unwieldy studio instrument, Mr. Kingsley formed the first Moog quartet for live performances. Four synthesizer players backed by four-piece band and singers. Their 1970 debut at Carnegie Hall with Robert Moog in attendance was a multimedia production with films and dancers offering arrangements of Bach and Beatles material, along with Mr. Kingsley's own music.
Damn.
I've got a little clip of one of the songs that this Moog quartet made. I think they were like the first Moog quartet. I think that's what they called them or something like that. But yeah, I'm going to play a clip of that.
Please do.
I was a star when the earth came to life. I was the stone that gave birth to the knife. I was a tree and a thing from the sea. All of these things are part of me. Born and reborn in a master design. I was a bird and a beast with an instinct divine. Ah, but now I'm a man, and I'm wondering just who I am as I try to fit into the plan. Star, let me glow with the light I once knew. Stone, lend me strength, for there's much I must do.
This is exactly why I fell in love with synthesizers in the first place, is when you mix synthesizers with acoustic instruments and singing, it's just unworldly. Something different.
That was the song Rebirth by the man himself, Gershon Kingsley.
Yeah.
Very interesting song.
Yeah.
I found that. I was like, oh man, that's interesting lyrics, interesting everything.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost done with Gershon here. all right. After that, he was urged by his record company to write follow ups to Popcorn. And he came up with other tracks named after food, like sauerkraut and cold duck, which became a minor hit in France.
Cold duck?
The Moog is an instrument with a sense of humor, he told the Times in 1972. So evidently he had a bit of a... He was a funny guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Kingsley also composed meditative New Age music throughout the 1980s and 1990s,
mm-hmm.
with albums... included Much Silence and Anima. He made albums throughout this whole time.
Mm.
Well into the 2010s, he also continued to release more music on SoundCloud.
Oh, wow.
Lighthearted pop tracks, chamber music, textual experiments, and improvisations. Improvisations?
What a cool dude, man.
So apparently he was making music... all the way up to his death, so...
It makes sense. If you love doing it, you're not going to stop.
A real real star of musical history.
Yeah, I got to look into this guy properly.
And I wish I'd known more about him before his death, but...
You know, at least he leaves a legacy.
Yeah, he leaves
behind.
An interesting legacy. Mm. I thought you might be interested in a bit of synth history.
I definitely was. I'm very, very glad that you brought this up, because, you know, knowing this stuff, makes me realize... how much I actually know little about the synth, even though I love that instrument.
I was sure, like, oh, he's going to check this out.
I'm definitely going to check this out afterwards. Yeah. So you'll leave some links in the description.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Good. So if you're interested in synth history, check it out. if not, you now know about a guy called Gershon, who you didn't before. It's an interesting name.
And Jean-Jacques Pierre.
Yeah, well, you learned Gershon was a name, probably. Yeah. That's good.
I knew about that name, but I didn't know that it was the man behind it, you know?
Shawnee,
man.
Or Jerry, but that's not...
I've got one more piece of news here, I think. And surprise, surprise, it's about Tame Impala. Sorry about it. I saw this right before we recorded, so I was like, I should probably add this as well. All it is I just
we,
saw this...
We should really should just call this the Tame Impala podcast.
I'm always going to sneak something in. Apparently they're working on a new music video. On Reddit, someone leaked a casting call for a number of roles for a Tame Impala film shoot. The scene,
some music videos.
Yeah, like I don't know what song it's for, but it's apparently the scene for the clip appears to be set at a wedding, and they're looking for female and male actors aged between 18 to 25. The role of a grandmother, grandfather, and two mothers of the bride, one happy, one disappointed, are also listed.
What, they have to look
one happy, like, and one disappointed,
like, always disappointed.
I don't know, yeah, like just crossed arms, like, no,
they just have to look like a disappointed
person.
I
object. Yeah, like, what is the deal?
Okay.
But apparently it's meant to be a wedding set in the 70s, so it's a retrophilic, like, you know, video by the sounds of things.
Never heard that word before.
It makes sense. He got married this last year, so I'm sure there's something
about that.
Something about the wedding that's going to be in the club.
Alright, that's been the Tame Impala update.
Message me for more.
Alright, well, I spent most of that time talking about Gershon.
I
thought that was good. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for listening to Radio Radar, and
we'll have more Pirate Radio podcasts coming soon. I think we should do it.
This will come out a little bit before Christmas.
Yeah.
But we'll have some stuff coming at you in the new year. Hopefully.
Maybe even a Christmas special. Who knows?
No. I don't want to.
You don't want to listen to Michael Bublé's Christmas album for an LTT, bro?
Please don't put that idea out there.
That's all we've got time for, folks.
That's been Pirate Radio Podcast.
Pirate Radio. Goodbye.